Welcome to Beside the Burn for Monday, the 11th of January. It's a new week and we have completed our thoughts on the 12 days of Christmas. And this week we're going to be exploring in a little bit more depth what we started to look at yesterday in our service in church. And yesterday our theme was Now and Not Yet. And if you haven't already watched that service, there's a link to it below and you can see how we began looking at this theme together. We're going to take some of the passages that were mentioned in yesterday's service and just take a little bit more time to read through them carefully and look at some more of the detail in them. And it's this idea that as followers of Jesus Christ, there's a lot that we have now. Sometimes as followers of Jesus, we're accused of not having anything concrete now and that everything that God promises us is in the future. It's pie in the sky when we die, but nothing for here. But what we realize as followers is that there's a lot that we have now. Jesus transforms our lives here and now every single day. But at the same time, there's still so much to come. So although we have something now, there's also this sense of not yet. There's more to come by trusting in Jesus. And so today we're going to be thinking about 1 John chapter 3 and the first three verses. And it's all about being part of God's family. That now we're part of the family, but we're not yet part of the family. There's still so much to come. There are blessings that are ours now, but there are many more blessings to come. So let's look at these three verses together. And I want you to notice especially, just before we begin reading it, verse 2, and how these two ideas of now and not yet are there in verse 2, and they are linked together all around being children of God. And that's what we're going to see here, that we are children of God. It's a blessing from God that here and now, that is what we are, but there's still so much to come. So John begins his passage talking about the love of the Father. And John is the disciple who talks a lot about love. If you read through these letters that John has written here, you'll find love mentioned over and over again. It's in these letters that we're told that God is love. And John here almost can't comprehend how much God loves us. He says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us. How great. You can almost hear the disbelief in his voice. How great is this? Can you believe this? I mean, am I missing something? Is there something wrong here? That God has loved us so much. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us. It's not just that God has loved us, or it's not even that he has said he loves us. He's actually lavished his love upon us. And the result of that love, well, it's simply that we can be called children of God. God loves us so much that he wants us to be part of his family, and therefore he welcomes us into his family. It's not just that God likes us, and so therefore he gives us a place of special recognition. He loves us, and he lavishes so much love upon us that we're called children of God. And that is what we are. It is now, here and now, this is what we are, children of God, welcomed into the family, adopted into God's family. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. The world won't accept God, and therefore the world won't accept us as his children and part of his family. So then John goes on in verse 2 that we've already briefly looked at. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. we can understand a little bit of the here and now of how we are children. It's a special relationship that we have a Heavenly Father. But that relationship is special here and now, but oh, it's going to be so much better when Jesus returns. We can hardly imagine what it's going to be like to be a child of God, adopted into his family, to see him face to face and walk with him daily. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. So for the now, we've been adopted into his family, but the not yet, we're actually going to have a resemblance of God as our Father, that he is our true Father, not just our adopted Father, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. So think about this today. It's a privilege to call God Father. It's a privilege to be a son of God or a daughter of God. It's a privilege to be his children today. And much as we have many blessings because of that, there's so much more to come. The not yet, the eternal blessing of being with him, of being in his presence, of knowing that he is with us. This year that has gone has been a difficult year for so many. And already as we enter this new year, we realize that everything is not going to suddenly become better. There are still tough times ahead, and the extra lockdowns that have been introduced and the extra restrictions that have come about make us realize just how difficult this year is going to be. But remember that right now, you and I are called children of God. God loves us so much that he has lavished that love upon us. So whatever you face this year, whatever you're going through at this present time, remember the blessings that you have now and realize the not yet. There's much more to come. Let's turn to God in prayer. Lord God Almighty, we thank you for your love that you have lavished upon us. We thank you that we're in this privileged position of being called children of God. How great is that, Lord? How great is your love that you would love us so much? Lord, we recognize that the world doesn't know you and therefore will not acknowledge our position with you. But Lord, we know that now we are your children, and we look forward to that coming about in all its fullness when you return. Lord, as we look at what is happening in the world at this time, we look to you and we ask, Lord, how long? Lord, when are you coming back? Is it soon? Because, Lord, we need you to return. We need you to come, Lord, in revival power. Or we need you to come in judgment. But Lord, we need you. So Lord, be with us, we pray, and help us day by day. Amen. Welcome to Beside the Burn for Tuesday, the 12th of January. And today we're continuing this theme of now and not yet. I wonder, does this excite you as you think about this at the moment? That there are blessings that are ours now, and yet there is so much more to come in the future. We're not basing our lives on an expectation of something wonderful in the future that we just dream of and it may or may not come about. We have concrete evidence that these things are here now in our lives, and yet there is much more to come. Today, as we think about now and not yet, we're going to be looking together at Philippians 3, verses 7 to 14. And this passage is the one that was read to us on Sunday by Jim McCracken, and it's one of the passages that we looked at in quite a bit of depth. And as we read through this together, we're going to realize that now we know Jesus, but not yet. there's so much more to come about him, that whenever we get to meet him, when he returns, then we'll know much more about him. For now, there is much that we would consider profit, but really it's loss. We've got to realise that what is truly important is knowing Jesus and finding out who he is. So let's read these verses together. But whatever was to my profit, and there's that idea of profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. There's a loss now, but it's not yet being realized because there is much more to come. What is more? I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Knowing Jesus is what is truly valuable in this life. And we know him now, but not yet. There's more to come. There's more to find out about him. For whose sake I have lost all things, I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. And here we see that the important thing in all of this is working out what is profit, what is loss, what is gain, what is lost, what's rubbish, what's valuable. We have to realize that the world does not have the answers to these things, because the world has everything in a different value system. The world has everything upside down, and we need to come along and realize that the things that are truly valuable, like knowing Christ, the world doesn't care about and places no value on. We've also got to realize that righteousness is important, but it's not our own righteousness. It's righteousness that comes from God that's important. What makes us right in God's sight? It's not us doing good things. It's not us trying to be better than we were yesterday. That's not making us look right in God's sight. What makes us right in God's sight is what Jesus has done. Jesus does the right thing when we do the wrong thing. Jesus is right when we are wrong. So we don't ever try to come before God in our own righteousness. We come in Christ. We say, I'm trusting in what Jesus has done on the cross and dying for me. I'm not going to trust myself, because I know rightly that by tomorrow evening I'll have done something wrong. But I know that Jesus is right, and I want to get to know him more now. And yet there's much more to come, the now and the not yet. Verse 10, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. And that's all fine. Those are good things to want to know. But then things take a slightly different turn in the second half of verse 10. Because not only does Paul want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, but he wants to know the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings and becoming like him in death. And then, as if that's not enough, he goes on to say, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Paul doesn't just want the light and fluffy goodness that comes from God. He wants to know the nitty and the gritty, and to see how God will prove faithful through all these terrible things in life. He doesn't want to just always look on the bright side. He wants to look with reality and see how God will be with him. And so therefore, as we suffer in this world, we realize that we are merely sharing what Jesus has already done. You see, if Jesus hadn't come to this world and suffered, then whenever we suffer, we'd be looking to somebody who has no idea what we're going through. But Jesus does know what we're going through. He knows it in much more reality than we will ever know it, because he was perfect and did not deserve to suffer, and yet he went through that for us. So when we face an illness, Jesus understands because he has suffered. When we lose something precious to us or someone precious to us, Jesus understands because we're sharing in his suffering. Whenever we're uncertain about the future, Jesus has been there. He has suffered in our place. And Paul then goes on to say, look, okay, I know all this sounds great, that God has loved us and we're going to know Jesus. But he says, look, I have not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect. Paul's saying, look, I know that right now I don't have all these things. But then he's putting the not yet before us. And he's saying, but these things are coming. They're coming with the return of Jesus. And when he comes back, then we will know fully what it is to be a disciple. But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Jesus has already got these things now, and one day they will be ours if we trust in him. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. There's that little word yet again, not yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Oh, let's bow before him in prayer. Lord God, we thank you for Jesus Christ, your Son, but our Saviour. We thank you, Lord, that you have called us in Christ Jesus. And we thank you that Jesus has come to us to bring us salvation, to bring us hope. Help us, Lord, to take hold of it today. Help us to press on, that we would know the glorious riches that you have for us. Oh Lord, we cannot attain these things ourselves, but only you can bring them. And so we trust you. Amen. Welcome to Beside the Burn for Wednesday, the 13th of January. And you join us as we continue in this theme of now and not yet. We've been thinking so far this week about the wonderful blessings that we have right now as followers of Jesus, but also at the same time that many of those blessings are not yet fully realized in our lives. Yes, we know Jesus now, but there's much more to know about him in the future. And today is the same. Today we're going to find out from 1 Corinthians 15 about death and how the power of death has been taken away, how there is nothing more to fear about death. And in a sense, we have that now because we know what Jesus has done about death in conquering death. But yet there's an element of not yet, because we will still face death unless Jesus returns before we die. We will still face death, but we're not facing the full impact of death. The sting of death has been lessened. And now, as we face death here on earth, we actually face eternal life. Life in all its fullness with God. So let's read these verses together. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? And here we have Paul writing very clearly about death. He mentions it several times here. Death, death, death. And what he's saying is that the true impact of death has been lessened greatly now, and yet we don't fully comprehend that until Jesus returns, because death still has a terrible wrenching effect upon us now. It's not as bad as it would have been without Jesus, but it's still there. But we have this wonderful knowledge that when Jesus returns, then death is destroyed completely. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality. When Jesus turns these things around, then the saying that's written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory because Jesus has won the victory. And we will say, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? It's gone because we're trusting in Jesus, and Jesus is the one who has overcome death. No one else has done that. Jesus suffered. He was crucified. He died. He was buried. He rose again. And because he rose again, death in all its impact has been destroyed. Where's its victory? It's not there because Jesus has the victory. Where is its sting? It's not there because Jesus has overcome. The sting of death is sin. And Jesus Christ has overcome sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Oh, look, don't get me wrong. Death is not something that we look forward to. It's not something that we want to hasten. But it's not to be feared, because Jesus Christ will be with us through death and will then, through the power of his resurrection, give us eternal life that death cannot stop. Jesus has the victory. Sin is what will try and take that victory away. But Jesus has the victory. Thanks be to God. We praise him. And so now we know that death has been conquered. But the reality of it, not yet. It's coming. With Jesus' return, then we will know. So let's thank him. Heavenly Father, thanks be to you today for the victory that we have over sin and over death. Lord, we confess before you that we are frightened by the prospect of death. We are frightened about what we may have to go through. But Lord, thanks be to you that you will be with us. You will not leave us or forsake us, but that you will take each step with us. You will carry us through. And therefore we trust in you and in you alone. Amen. Welcome to Beside the Burn for Thursday, the 14th of January. We're continuing this idea of the now and not yet. Things that we know now are true and in reality, but that we don't yet fully see worked out. And Today is a classic example. We're heading into the book of Revelation today and tomorrow. Today is Revelation 20. We'll go into the next chapter tomorrow. And today we come across Satan. And Satan, I suppose, is the classic now and not yet. Because Satan has been defeated. We know that. We celebrate that every Easter. We've just been thinking about death and how Jesus has the victory over death. Jesus has the victory over Satan. He has been defeated. And yet it's not quite there yet. Because Satan is still at large. Satan is still at work. He is tempting. He is causing people to turn away from God. And yet, if he has been defeated once and for all, how is that the case? Well, it's the now and not yet. God still allows Satan to operate in this world. He is greatly restricted, but he is still at work. You only have to watch a news report at the moment to see the devastation that Satan is bringing to this world and causing people to turn from God. He is a clever spirit. So now Satan is defeated, but not yet. There's more to come. And in Revelation, remember that John the Apostle has been given this vision of what heaven is like and what is happening. And in these three verses that we're going to look at today, John sees Satan being defeated and then realizes that he is still allowed to operate, but that will come to an end. So let's read it together. John here's writing and he is seeing this vision of heaven and he is writing down what he sees for us. And remember as well that these are extraordinary things that John is seeing and therefore to describe them to us is difficult. I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss and holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent who is the devil, or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations any more until 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time. We're now living in these days that John is speaking of at the end here, the short time when Satan has been set free. Satan has been defeated. He has been locked up. He has been humiliated. And there is no way back from him. John here describes it in these pictorial ways that he's looking at, that the angel is coming down out of heaven and seizing the dragon, and the dragon is the devil or Satan, and he bounds him for 1,000 years. He's been thrown into the abyss and he's been locked and sealed. And all of this is to keep him from deceiving the nations. So Satan here has been defeated, but not yet completely. There's no question of Satan coming back. There's no question that he will suddenly rise and be able to defeat Jesus. No, Jesus has totally defeated him. He's been locked up. There is nothing that Satan can do. But then for a short time, Satan has been set free to still roam. The day is coming when Jesus is coming. When he returns, that is it. Satan will no longer be able to roam. Satan, who has been defeated, will be completely locked locked and sealed and kept in the abyss. But for now, he is free. Not to do whatever he pleases, but to do a little of what he pleases. We see the results of that day by day in sin in the world. We see how people have rejected God and turned from him because Satan deceives. But we have this knowledge that Satan has been defeated once and for all. And as Jesus returns, that will be fulfilled now and not yet. What a wonderful thought. Look at the news today. What stories have you heard that prove that Satan is free and roaming in this world? All sorts. We see COVID and we realize that that is a result of sin in this world. Without sin, there would be no death. There would be no sorrow. There'd be no illness. And Satan is responsible for those things. Where there are riots, where there's disorder, that is Satan ripping it up. And so as we realize what Satan is doing, we give thanks that as Jesus returns, this will all be over. It's not that we're waiting for that final battle to take place. It's not that we're praying and praying, oh, Jesus, come back again. Go for Satan this time, defeat him completely and utterly. No, that has already happened. It is now, but not yet. There's more to come. Jesus has already won the victory. The victory is in no doubt whatsoever. So therefore, we look to Jesus to return. And the more I hear the news these days, the more I pray that Jesus will return. I pray, first of all, that he will return in revival power, that he will come through his Holy Spirit and sweep through this land and draw people to him, that they would find him as Savior and sins forgiven, and that they would be set free to follow him. But then I pray that he will come back. Because we need Jesus in one of these two ways, because the world seems to be getting worse and worse. We've had coronavirus. We've had riots in America over this last week where democracy is at stake and election results have not been heeded. And it just seems as though the world is in total and utter chaos and we need Jesus. We need Jesus to come. We need him to change us. So let's pray. Lord God Almighty, we praise you that you are still on the throne, that you are still sovereign. Oh, Lord Almighty, we bow humbly before you today and we plead with you to come. Lord, we pray that you would return soon and call us to be with you. But Lord, as much as we long for your coming, we realize that that will mean that it will be too late for some to trust in you. And so, Lord, we also pray that you would come in revival power, sweeping through this land in through your Holy Spirit, that many would be revived, that many would come and trust you and find salvation, and that lives would be transformed before you come in judgment. Amen. Welcome to Beside the Burn. It's Friday the 15th of January. It seems hard to believe that we are at the end of another week again. We've had four studies so far on this now and not yet. And today we're looking at the next chapter in Revelation, chapter 21, verses 3 to 4. We're continuing our theme of now and not yet. And today we're thinking about God with us. It's that theme that we have been thinking about at Advent. Emmanuel God with us. And as we turn to Revelation, we're going to find out a little bit more about God being with us, about God dwelling with us day by day. And again, it's exactly the same theme as we've looked at each of the other days. There's an element of now and an element of not yet. Now, Jesus is dwelling with us, but we don't fully know that reality. There's a not yet. When he comes back, then we will truly know God with us, Emmanuel. So let's read these couple of verses today. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. This will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. This is John being given this vision of heaven, and as he looks, he describes what he sees, and he is looking into the future as to what is going to happen. We know from Advent that God is with us. Jesus came to this earth. He walked here. He taught here. He healed here. He performed miracles here. Emmanuel, God is with us right now. We know from the gospel accounts that after he had been resurrected, he ascended into heaven and he sent his Holy Spirit to be with his disciples and to be with us today. So he is with us here and now. But as John looks into the future, he sees what is going to happen. And it is so certain, and it is such a reality, that he is writing it as though it is the now, and it is really the not yet. Now the dwelling of God is with men. This thing is going to happen. There is no doubt in John's mind that this is what will take place. Emmanuel, God is with men, and he will live with them. Look at this idea of with. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. This is what it means to have God with us. No more tears, no more sorrow, no more death, no more mourning, no more crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. This is the way things used to be, but things are going to be very different with Jesus in the future. This is the way we live our lives day by day, and especially at the moment, where in the past, death has often been sanitized and it's almost been hidden. We don't like to talk about it. We don't like to mention it. But with COVID for this last year, death has been on the agenda. Every day in the news, we hear how many people have died with COVID in the past 24 hours. Death is a daily announcement. Death is a reality. For many who expect it to live much longer, death has come quickly, and none of us know when death is coming. But that may be the now, but what is coming is very different. That old order is passing away and a new order is coming, a new covenant from Jesus. When he destroys completely death and mourning and crying and pain, and he brings this new order of God dwelling with us, Emmanuel, God with us. So as we've come to the end of this week and we've been thinking about the now and the not yet, let us praise God for Emmanuel, and let us praise that God is with us. Lord God Almighty, We praise you today for Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus coming to this earth, but we look forward to him coming again. Lord, we cannot overemphasize this. We simply say it again day after day this week. May Jesus come. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. And we pray that when he comes, we will know this reality, that then, now, we will know the dwelling of God with us. And Lord, we pray that you will come and intervene to do away with the old order of things and bring your new covenant. No more death, no more mourning, no more crying or pain. Lord, these are emotions that we are feeling each and every day with people who are known to us and people who are among our friends and family. And Lord, we look to you for our hope today, and we trust in you. Amen.